At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor, and I welcome Germanicus Makovlejos to comment on what we know so far 2,000 years from our very comfortable roost here by the Thames in Londinium in 90 AD. We're looking at a puzzlement about what Russia needs to do to get back into the propaganda momentum that was maintained for many months by the Russian advance into the Donbass. It was interrupted by a withdrawal from the Kyiv encirclement. However, the artillery conflict looked to be a stalemate favoring the Russians because it has more artillery shells and, after all, was dug in on the east side of the Dnieper River Valley. And then a sudden advance, we're told, all we have is fog of war, advance by the Kyiv forces towards the Kharkiv Oblast, a couple of major railheads, and a transportation route no longer available to the Russians, switching the momentum to the Kyiv propaganda, agitprop, momentum point of view. What we get in English via London chiefly, but also now and again by Washington, is reason to celebrate Kyiv, the brave little David, against the Goliath with evil intentions. However, the question now is, what does Russia need to do, must do, to regain momentum? The meeting between the two chieftains, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping, is behind us. There was no certain result. Nothing to suggest the No Limits Partnership was withdrawn. Questions about what does Russia do next? So that's what I'm putting to Germanicus. Germanicus, you've been fussing all day, drawing signs to yourself about this and that arrow. What does Russia need to do to regain the propaganda momentum? I don't know about the battlefield, but the story that it can tell to the Russian people and to Europe facing a difficult winter without Russian natural gas. Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. It is absolutely essential for anyone who pretends to study the art of war that war has its significance and its weight, its authority, not simply in the physical realm of battle and in killing, but equally, and I say equally because it's been shown in the past 2 weeks, equally in the realm of narrative and belief. And the essence of Ukrainian grand strategy is to create and sustain in the hearts of the West, meaning NATO and the U.S., et cetera, this reason to commit to Ukraine, you know, a reason to believe. And so the last 2 to 3 weeks in which Ukraine has lost up to 30,000 killed and wounded, all of those were sacrificed in order to deliver to the West a surety that Ukraine can win and that it will win and that this grand victory that has been achieved near Kharkov is a sure marker post of eventual victory. Therefore, all of your investments, dear NATO, are good. They're solid, and just keep investing and we will deliver the victory that you so earnestly desire. And this is all based on a debacle in terms of casualties and the degradation of their main, just newly trained and newly equipped striking force. This is of no interest. It's irrelevant. In fact, the sacrifice only pulls the Western heartstrings stronger. So that they say, oh, those poor Ukrainians, they're just giving their lives up for the battle for freedom. And so the Ukrainians have done remarkably well, supported by 150 U.S. and Western ad agencies and public relations firms, but also the entirety of the social media ecology is steadfastly and aggressively pushing the cause of Ukraine. So they can tell any story they want, and it will be accepted. So the problem for Russian propaganda is how to do a triage. And the triage is very simple. First of all, there's Russia. Russia is absolutely first priority. Russians need to know that focus and unity within Russia for the war effort. The second part of triage, which, you know, those that can be saved, is the third world. And the third world has been on Russia's side, even though they haven't been vocal about it because they don't want to be punished by the U.S. But nonetheless, they've refused to support the sanctions regime. That includes the biggest heavyweights, obviously China and India, but also many other critical countries, including Iran, Turkey, Indonesia, Brazil. This is a grouping of countries that has 80% of the world's population, and Russia has opportunity there to shape a narrative in which it is the injured party, namely putting forth a storyline in which the U.S., having lost its soul and entered into a forever war and perpetuating its dominance in the world through a series of interventions and killings endlessly across the globe. This resonates with a lot of the third world, with China, with India, South Africa, Brazil, Indonesia. This is a way for Russia, in a backdoor strategy, to actually come out of the war looking like a defender of the rest of humanity, in opposition to a decadent, greedy, and cruel Western alliance. Now, the idea that Russia could reshape attitudes in the West is more problematic, hence the triage analogy. And here, the hope for Russia is that much of Western Europe will begin to understand that the relationship with between the U.S. and NATO, the rest of NATO, is not necessarily all altruistic, but the emerging sort of leitmotif that's working its way into the consciousness of European electorates is, well, maybe Europe is being used by the U.S. The U.S. wants to maintain its empire. Europe is the last real bastion of American empire, along with Australia and Japan, not just for defense, but also for critical energy rescue and other things, money. It's a situation that the U.S. on the surface has come to relish, where instead of liberating peoples who were oppressed, as we did in World War II, we try to create relationships in which those poor, benighted countries are thoroughly dependent on us for our largesse and beneficence. And this becomes a story that I think the Russians could develop. I'm not sure how well they're doing that right now, but they're certainly beginning to lay the foundations for that. Eventually,
and simply, Germanicus, do the Russians need anything on the battlefield? You're telling a story that there's a large half of the G20 does not sanction Russia. They're all ears for this story. Do they need to demonstrate something to crow about the way that Ukraine has?
Well, I think the big symbolic struggle here is the proxy war struggle as a ritual battle between the Western alliance and Russia.
Well, Russia doesn't need to do anything about that because it's the Pentagon who's talking about its amazing weapon systems and how it's discovered again how to fight a battle. So Russia all it has to do is point to the fact that we're at war with NATO. Do they need something fundamental?
I think they have to do what they were doing in the past. They have to show that they're not the inept and corrupt armed capability that the U.S. propaganda is trying to make them out to be. And so if they are able to neutralize high-tech weaponry of the U.S. And show that on the battlefield in Ukraine, that buoys Russia, because it has to be said now, and this is without prejudice, I hope, both the U.S. and Russia as great powers have made their great power status a function of their advanced military technology. And this is not helping the U.S. It may help Russia, because the one there's not just one. There are two hidden benefits for Russia by its maintaining this sense that it's still a military technology equal to the U.S. One is obviously selling weapons abroad, which they need to do for their economy. But more than that, they become more valuable to China and India and their long established military client relationships there. And that allows Russia to keep its head up with two powers that otherwise would be eclipsing it.
Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. Gaius, myself, John Batchelor, we're at the Thames Riverside enjoying a cup of wine before we go off to the theater and speculating, philosophizing about 2,000 years from now and the story, the narrative back and forth between NATO and Ukraine and Russia and the ambitious and all-ears world, half of the G20 and many more people in addition to that. I'm looking at India. I'm looking at South Africa. I'm looking at Brazil. All of the countries of Africa are waiting for Russia to announce a success. So what does that look like in the coming weeks? We're going to turn to speculation, however, something that was once called Operation Canned Goods, otherwise known as Operation Himmler. When we come back, it's 1939. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, guys. Finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.